Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Well, the Ten Commandments seem so simple. They're short. They can be read, but they take a lifetime to learn, and especially a lifetime to appreciate how Christ has kept them perfectly for us. This should be more than just one lesson, but we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Monday afternoon, November the 21st. In the second hour of the program, we'll continue our three-part review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day of Friday, with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. You're right. This is a very big lesson, and we're going to cover it in 1 week.
Okay. With that said, with a focus on the Ten Commandments, this really is, in many ways, what shall we say? This is something that you don't teach once to children. You don't have them memorize it once to children. This is the constant companion of the Christian, at least in terms of God's law. And we'll have to make that distinction between law and gospel real quick here. This is the constant companion throughout life from birth until death, isn't it?
That's exactly right. We'll introduce it this week in Sunday school, but it comes up again and again as we look at God's word and we link to these things that we believe, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and all the other things in the Catechism. We're making links through all of these Sunday school lessons. But this week, we get to just get to the story of in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, where God hands down these Ten Commandments, these famous commandments that we memorize and learn and have in our hearts and our minds. So we're going to hear the story of that and how it came and talk about the law and the gospel. We're really going to look this week at the law and how it kills us, because when we look at these Ten Commandments, we see we failed, that we can't keep them. And we're going to really teach us, you're going to focus on the law and how the gospel revives and gives life to sinners killed by the law. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And that's got to be the capstone of this lesson. It's not just about the law, but it points us to Christ, who can save us.
So how do you begin a conversation about the Ten Commandments?
Well, I think here it is in the narrative of salvation history. And one reason why we've been telling this part of the Bible stories, and why we try always to do in a chronological order in this Growing in Christ Sunday School, because it's part of a greater story. And so we've been following these Israelites through the plagues that finally got them out of Egypt, the Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, the water from the rock, the manna that came down from heaven, the hungry and thirsty Israelites. This is really kind of the next big event that happens in the book of Exodus. And it's an important one. And so, you know, I think we connect there for kids, and we recount what's happened to this point after the parting of the Red Sea for us and showering us with manna from heaven and bringing forth the water to quench our thirst. The Lord prepares to give a far superior gift. Let them be ready for the third day, it says in Exodus 19, because the law is coming. And we have then this wonderful story to tell, and it's part of our salvation.
The first reaction to the Ten Commandments on the part of the people was that of fear. Do you think they understood something about, or maybe it's their proximity to the revelation itself, they understood something about what these things then required of them, that even though they said that they will do all these things, it had to be done with trepidation. Do you think they understood something about the Ten Commandments that, you know, they've just become wall plaques for us now, or little cross-stitch samplers on the wall now, not as the thunderous voice of God in judgment of the whole world?
Well, that's a great point. In context, in the history of all of this, these are the same people, or their close descendants, who had seen the plagues that God brought about to the Egyptians, who would have nothing to do with him and would not release his people. They had seen God with the Passover and how the Egyptians were struck down and how they were drowned in the Red Sea while God's people were saved. These Israelites, though they needed to be reminded, had really seen the power of Almighty God and seen things that we haven't seen, and that all very real. These aren't just stories, and so they had a sense of it. And when you think of what happened here, God descending to meet his people on Mount Sinai, really creation itself is trembling and announces his coming. There's thunder, there's lightning in a thick cloud. There's no way that they could miss what's going on. The loud trumpet blast heralding God's majestic coming through all of this, the cloud, the lightning, the thunder, the people are trembling. They fear that they would die as a result of meeting God. And, we have that in these other stories where they can't see God because to look upon him would be to meet their death because of their sinfulness. So they are afraid, and they beg Moses to speak in the place of God. They don't want to get any closer. God's mighty power, his glory, they need it to be toned down because they do get it, because they're sinful. And Moses, though, says to them, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, and that you may not sin." All part of God's plan. He wants us, just like them, to fear him so that we won't sin and we won't turn from him and cut ourselves off from his life. And it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing to fear Almighty God, not to run away in fright, but to humbly trust him and give him the respect that God Almighty certainly deserves.
Let's talk about those Ten Commandments in particular then. A very useful way, and I think it's always useful to start this way with the Ten Commandments, rather than to understand them as simply a laundry list of things, to realize that they are actually organized into what the theologians have usually called two tables. The first,
that's right.
The first three as numbered by many Christians, and then the remaining seven. Talk about that very useful distinction.
Yeah, it really is. The first three are commandments that deal with our relationship specifically with God. And the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The third commandment, speaking about our worship and that we have no other gods, but we remember to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So those first three are about our relationship with God. The others are all about how we treat our neighbor, and they go through things that we all are very familiar with in our daily lives. Relationship with parents, the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, the seventh commandment, very basic, you shall not steal. And then, of course, the commandments about coveting neighbor's goods and property. The eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. These are all things that every one of us, be we a child or an adult, when we look at them, and we look, it's like a mirror. They show back at us how we have indeed not lived under these commandments, but we have stolen. We have spoken ill of our neighbor. We've coveted. We haven't put God first. We haven't kept the Sabbath day. We haven't come to him in worship to hear his word. We haven't done any of these things that he commands. But it is a wonderful way to look at them in these two tablets, if you want to say. We don't know how they were divided there for Moses, but the church has come to divide them this way, the first three towards God, the other seven, our relationship to our neighbor.
Let's take a break. When we come back, you've already hinted at it, but we'll talk about this on the other side of the break. Does God require in these Ten Commandments, to these Ten Commandments, perfect obedience? That is, not just outwardly convincing myself or someone else that I've been keeping them, not doing what they forbid and doing what they command, but the way God measures obedience, looking at the heart. A true from-the-heart obedience 24-7, 365 days a year. Many in Christianity today say, no, I mean, he's given them to us as a guide, as a general rule, but God would never demand perfect obedience to the Ten Commandments. We'll find out whether that's true with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Monday afternoon, November the 21st, right after this. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How do many leaders of pop American Christianity misinterpret the Great Commission? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled The Not-So-Great Commission, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Kelly Klagis details her journey from parachurch fellowships to confessional Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back to Issues Etc., talking the Ten Commandments with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Pam, you have hinted at this before. Simple question, does God require perfect obedience to these Ten Commandments?
Well, sure he does. These are very serious commandments, and God expects total compliance, total following them, total obedience to them, and yet we all sit here knowing that there's no way that we can fully obey. We fail. Luther said we daily sin much, and that's what drops us to our knees, not in despair, but on our knees at the foot of the cross of Christ, who alone kept these commandments for us, who became one of us, God's Son, became one of us, and lived in this world, lived with us, but did not sin, was tempted in every way just as we are, but was without sin, and then took our sin, our breaking of these commandments in thought, word, and deed, took all of that sin and took it to the cross for us so that we could live and not die.
When we watch Jesus, and I think this is a great way to kind of think, a way to think about Jesus' ministry as it's recounted to us in the New Testament, are we watching him in those New Testament Gospels keeping these commandments perfectly? Are we witnessing what it looks like to be perfectly obedient to God? That active obedience, as the theologians would say, that Christ renders to God in our place.
Well, that's a great question. I think certainly we are. We're seeing the perfect, sinless one who knows the law. He is God. He's part of, he is, this law has come from him, but he keeps it perfectly in his humanity. We witness it, his love for his neighbor, and his obedience to his Heavenly Father. And we see it, and in many ways it's recorded for us in the Gospels as they recount Jesus' time here on earth and the significant moments of that. And we have his teaching about this law in his Sermon on the Mount and in many other ways as he spoke to his disciples and preached and taught in his time. He actively did this for us, went to the cross with no sin of his own, spotless lamb, and took all of our failings in breaking of the law.
When we when we teach these to our kids, this is going to be unpopular, but I'm speaking to you as someone who I think you're probably really in favor of this. When we teach these to our kids, do we want to make sure that they actually memorize them?
I think absolutely. And that's the beauty of this little book that we have as Lutherans, the Luther Small Catechism, lays out a great way to learn on the six chief parts, Luther says, of Christian doctrine, the Ten Commandments being one of those chief parts. And it isn't just Luther, and it isn't just your parents or your pastor that says to memorize them. Even in the Bible, God talked about writing these words on our hearts, on our heads, knowing them, talking about them as we walk down the road with our children, letting this be part of us. And so we teach them, we repeat them over and over again, we write them down, we speak them to each other, and Luther gives us those wonderful explanations that make also great things to memorize because they help us understand the fullness of each commandment and unpack it to keep us mindful. These commandments, they show us our sin and we fail, but they also show us the way to be with our neighbor and towards our God, and they are for our lives. And every night we recognize our sinfulness and we repent. And, you know, a great way to even prepare for taking of the Lord's Supper is to go through these commandments. And if you have them memorized, they're there with you, and you go through them, and you consider your vocation, you consider who you are, and where God has placed you in this life in relationship to Him and to your neighbor, husband, wife, child, employee, whatever, and you run through those commandments, and that helps you to know what you need to repent of, and it helps keep you mindful of who you are, and where you fit in this world. But it prepares you then to go to the altar, to receive the bread of heaven, the forgiveness of sins, the life and salvation that come because of the perfect Son of God who kept the commandments that we could not.
One more quick question on that. We begin every Sunday morning, or we ought to begin every Sunday morning as Christians, in light of these commandments. Is this a good time, a great time, to talk to kids about confession and absolution?
It's a wonderful time to talk about it. We have this gift from God through the church, through the pastors that He gives us, the gift of confessing our sins, which He clearly has us repent and confess, and His word tells us. And in the worship service, we have that opportunity in the public confession of sins, but even in a kind of a greater way, but in a very personal way, especially when a particular sin is troubling you and you're burdened with it, you can go to your pastor and you can confess these sins to him as if to God, and he will speak to you not his words of forgiveness, but the very words of God, and absolve you of your sin, pronounce the forgiveness of sins over you, over that specific sin that you have confessed. And not so many people take advantage of this wonderful gift, and really the place to start teaching it is with the children in our homes, in our Sunday school classes, so that it becomes a regular part of the rhythm of their life and their faith, going to their pastor and confessing their sins and receiving the absolution of God, the forgiveness of sins. Beautiful thing to do.
Before we let you go here, Pam, you've got a Witness Mercy Life Together story to tell us. About a minute and a half.
Sure. This is, it comes from one of our missionaries, a deaconess who serves in Hong Kong, Deaconess Carol Halter. And it's just a short little story, but amazing. And I think it really connects to the first three commandments about especially having no other gods before us. There's a woman in Hong Kong who had been witnessed to for 20 years by her daughter, who was Christian, and she kept hesitating to be baptized because she was concerned about what to do with the idols of her Chinese religion with many gods, and she didn't know what to do with those if she were to profess faith in the triune God. She felt tied to her ancestors and her human family, and she thought that she needed to take care of these family idols. 20 years of witnessing, and the woman, faith was implanted in her heart, and she came to be baptized. And they came and to baptize her, and before that time, she said, "We have to get rid of all of these idols." And they were heavy statues, and people helped her from the church. They came and they carried them away. They removed them. They were in a beautiful cabinet that was torn down, and she put them in a trash bag and said she held it for them to do that. And they prayed, and she says, "I want to pray too." And she prayed a prayer of thanks that now Christ is really the head of her house. And she prayed for her family members, and then she was baptized. Beautiful story of the power of the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, and the persistence of one of his servants to continue to proclaim Christ year after year. The Holy Spirit worked in her heart, and she was baptized. And so, incredible, really. And through the work of missionaries in Hong Kong, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod serves. And pray for this lady. Pray for our missionaries. And you can read more about this on the link that's provided.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
We do base our conversations with Pam on Concordia Publishing House's Sunday School curriculum, Growing in Christ. You can get a free sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, we will continue our review of Joel Osteen's latest book, Every Day a Friday. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues Etc.